would like to welcome you all here today. My name is Ivana Redgrave, and I'm privileged to have been asked to lead this honouring of Gwen's life. We gather here also to support her husband Ron and her family in their grief, and to join them in farewelling Gwen at her death. Your presence here today is much appreciated, especially those who have travelled a long distance to be with us. After our ceremony, you're invited to make your own personal goodbyes to Gwen by placing some rose petals from her own garden on her casket after it's been carried outside in preparation for her final journey. You're then all cordially invited to celebrate her life by sharing some refreshments and fellowship with her family in the lounge next door. And as we begin our time here, we take time to think of Gwen's family who are unable to be with us. Her sons Trevor and Rex, her sister May, and her grandchildren Kevin and Jane. I'm sure though that they will be with us in spirit, and we will hear some words from Trevor a little later on. In a number of ways, death unites us all. Gwen's death demands that for a time each of us put aside our toil and our cares to unite with our fellow mourners, to share the common bonds we had with Gwen. It is a time like this we stop the onrush of life and pause for a while to reflect. And when we think of Gwen's long life of 86 years, there is certainly a lot to reflect upon. And Gwen's nephew Alan will help us with this by giving her eulogy.
Gwen. Auntie, friend, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. She was born in Woodville, when Woodville in those days was the centre of the universe. It was the beginning of the First World War, 1915. And she was the fourth of six children. Her dad had just bought a farm, and Gwen grew up in the rigours of rural life of that era. In those early years, she developed a resilience and strength of character that served her well through the rough times of the Depression, raising the twins and Trevor, of course, through the hardship of the war years, and then with several major health crises later on. Gwen enjoyed school and was a good basketball player, but as was customary for those times, she left school early and went to work by the time she was 13. She got a job as a milliner at the PDC in Palmerston North, where a few weeks' work was worth the princely sum of 10 bob, for those who remember what a bob is. Most of it went to her board and keep. When the Depression hit, Gwen had to return to Woodville, where she was able to work at Arthur Walker's menswear and drapers, which was owned by her brother-in-law. And that must have been fun, because he was a character. Loved to have been there in those days. Her mother and father were keen dancers, and this always puzzled me, because it always seems to me that things you find out when people die, and you should have known beforehand. Her mother and father, my grandparents, were great dancers, and apparently through the dancing that Ron and Gwen met. And I didn't know that, I don't know the rest of the family knew that, but it was quite of interest to me that that was the case. Apparently for 40 years, the grandparents ran dancing classes in the Whipple area. So Ron and Gwen met on the dance floor. Great spot. They married in 1938 in the Methodist Church in Woodville, rented for a while in a brand new state unit, which Ron says nothing worked. There was nails through the plumbing and the sewage was blocked with wood offcuts and everything else that imagine that in those days a state house could have go wrong. It went wrong. And then they moved on. Trevor was born on the day that World War II was declared. I don't know if that was significant or not. He actually grew up all right. And nearly 5 years later, the twins, Rex and Charles, arrived. Having a youngster and twins at a time of rationing and power cuts was not easy, But for Gwen, there was no washing machines, let alone nappy sand or the disposables. But typically for Gwen, she dealt with what she had to, and even had the energy to help entertain the Poles at the internment camp at Paiatua. Her mother had been a member of the Dramatic Society, and in those days, with no other entertainment, short plays were very popular, and there were many regional competitions. Gwen was a keen member of the Woodville Drama Club and would travel around the district performing. One of those places that she went to was a camp with a large number of Polish refugees where they were housed, and that's how she got to know some of those people. I think the hospitality that the likes of Gwen and her colleagues showed these strangers when they themselves were coping with such hardships speaks volumes about their generous spirits and their depth of character. Gwen was involved with a large group of activities throughout her life, and after a short stint in Auckland with Ron when he was transferred, they moved to Palmerston North, and Gwen became active in the Takaro Ladies Club and was president of the local Ladies Modelling Club. And later, when the children had left home, she and Ron joined the Palmerston Caravan Club, where she was one of the club captains. She also spent many years delivering Meals on Wheels for the Red Cross, both in Palmerston and in Napier. And driving was a real joy for Gwen. And though she thought nothing of popping in the car for a shopping expedition several hours away, and she even did that up to recently. I'm not sure about that side of her, Ron. But I know she loved the clothes. Although quiet and rather shy at first, Gwen was very good at organising behind the scene things, and things always fell into place when she was involved without any fuss, and they just went smoothly, and she was able to put everybody at ease. She had a lovely dry humour and a keen sense of fun, which I'm sure we've all experienced. And there's a couple of stories, I'm sure, that need to go to rest now that Gwen has passed on, and we'll refer to that a little bit later. She was also very caring and always prepared. Wherever they went in the caravan, Gwen's sewing machine went too, and sewing would have to be her number one passion. She was extremely clever with her hands and made all her own clothes, and not to mention her great hats. Her many crafts and the clothes she made for her children, and later her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, I'm sure now will be really appreciated. Gwen had a great love of fashion and was always meticulously presented, even when she stayed home. She enjoyed many years walking the catwalk as a model and later as a mature model for the modelling club. This interest in fashion meant a great deal of shopping was called for, a task which Gwen embraced with vigour. She was also a keen gardener and kept the lovely rose garden with a small veggie patch. Somehow Gwen could grow parsley in places no one else could. She would try her hand at anything, although I'm told golf rather defeated her. Even in her early 80s, she took up swimming and spent many hours at the beach at West Shore after they moved here in 96. And that they moved here was to be close to families and the sunshine, which I can vouch for, I call it today. By then she had travelled overseas a bit. She went to Los Angeles with Rex on one occasion, and she and Ron were able to make several trips to Singapore and Sydney, and one to Honolulu. Gwen's family was important to her, and she spent many hours encouraging her family, watching their sports and plays. She was very involved and supportive. Grandma, and her 80th birthday was a real joy with her and her family about her. Unfortunately, her health prevented her visiting Trevor and the grandchildren in Adelaide, as she would have liked, but she was able to get over there briefly last year. And Trevor was able to return here for several weeks recently to spend time with Gwen before she died. She had battled and overcome several threatening crises in the past, but sadly, this last illness took her quietly, ending a long, well-lived life of 86 years, and one that saw her active until the end. Though although she had a lot of pain, Gwen carried on as though nothing was wrong. And to that note, I suspect she came to Auckland. a few weeks ago, probably knowing that she wasn't going to come again. She didn't say. I'd like to read to you now a fax that came from Trevor. As you appreciate and understand, he was here for the last 2 weeks or so and went home a few days ago. From Trevor and Gail. Hello, Mum. Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming today. Our mother has just been the best mum, not just to Dad and our family, but also to our many cousins. Mum has always been there in thick and thin to help and to listen. Mum's life covered several interests, including sewing, modelling, caravan and cooking. Sorry, missed her pastimes. Yes, you guessed it. The main one, retail therapy. And why not? In our younger days, we had many family gatherings, and these were arranged by what was called then the Leech Organisation, a very famous organisation in that big town of Woodville. Mum being a Leech, of course, we are proud to see the Leech descendants here today, and over the past weeks, thank you so very much. Mum was proud of the Leech Organisation and asked that we keep it going. Mum has also many friends in different walks of life, and thank you to all of you for being Mum's friends. To all of you here today, plus especially all Mum's friends and family, Gwen wishes to have you to have good health and quality of life. Thanks, Mum. The Leech Organisation. I know it well. And perhaps if I can divert a little bit into the family things with the family, excuse me. We'll appreciate. But the Leech Organisation really blossomed out of the farm at Woodville, where the Leech girls and young men were brought up. It was the last farmhouse before you went into the gorge going to Palmerston North. And lots of things used to happen there, and I believe Gwen got her strength and her sense of humour and everything from that period of life, as I think a lot of the Leech girls did. And she never really got angry. I mean, my brother and Trevor one day wired up all the farm workers' tools to the electric fence. He lived. And Gwen, I know, would have chuckled when she told them off. I know she was there. But afterwards she would laugh too. In the Leech Organisation, a peculiar bunch of bods. There was Arthur, an extrovert, humorous man, who gave all the humour and fun to the whole party. But the other two characters, there were two Lezers, which called themselves Hector and Archibald, and wherever those names came from, I do not know. But that's how they greeted each other. And then there was Quiet Ron. But he let Gwen do most of the organising. I suspect it was Gwen who did most of the organising of the picnics down at the creek and on the riverbed, with the trailer behind the tractor, and we all loaded in with the picnic baskets and went down and had an afternoon swimming and picnicking and having fun, roaming the farm. Good days. My memories, and I guess we've all got special memories of Gwen, was I think when she was at 24 Lyndhurst Street in Palmerston North in my teenage years there. But I remember always going to Gwen's place, and one of the things that you will appreciate, I know, that her welcome was always genuine. She was always glad to see you and always interested in where you'd been, what you were doing, and how life was. But when you arrived there, if it was a sunny day like today, the windows would be open, the back door would be open, she'd be doing the housework. The LaGloria stereo system, the best of the day, was there with Elvis, Buddy Holly, the Beatles and whatever, playing loudly. And I have to believe she had a passion for modern music that was probably even greater than most of us teenagers. And it was fun. She was always relaxed and happy. But the story that leads to lie to rest is that there is the story of a nephew who went eeling one night with the family. And the next morning he was asked if he liked the eel, and he said no. He said, it's all right, I've got some snapper, which he ate. You can read the rest yourself. And she teased me all her life with that. Gwen, your 3 score years and 10 plus have gone, and to some it seems you've gone a little early. But what a life that we all have to remember, So let's celebrate and be happy for what life we've been able to share with Gwen and what she has given behind. And let there not be a gap, but a memory of good things.
Beautiful. And Charles, would you like to come up and share some words?
Hi, Mom. I want you to know that Dad, Trevor, Rex, and Charles are with you. And the peace and grace of God are also with you. Gwen, the wife, Ron, our dad, Gwen, the mother, to Trevor, Rex and Charles, Gwen, the grandmother, to our children, Gwen, the great-grandmother, and soon to be another great-grandmother in Australia. Auntie Gwen, to lots of our cousins and friends. Gwen, a friend to all of you. She loved all your friends. She loved you all. We can put all those words together in one small sentence. Gwen, a very special lady, a very special lady.
Reflections on Gwen's life will have no doubt triggered many memories for you all, and I'd now like to give you some time to integrate those memories and the feelings that they evoke. And as you've heard today, Gwen loved two roses, and Ron and Gwen's house in Avondale Road is named the Rose. Uncannily, her room at Cranford Hospice was also named the Rose Room. And it's appropriate then that as we have time to remember her, we listen to the words of the Rose by Bette Midler.
Some say love is a river that drowns the tender. Some say love is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love is
Obvious from the sharing that we've had today that Gwen was a unique, very talented and creative woman. And she's been able to pass many of her attributes onto her children and grandchildren, and they in turn will pass them onto their children. Gwen leaves behind a large, talented and creative family and close, loyal friends. The fact that so many of you here are here today to farewell her today speaks volumes about her your regard for her. It also shows us that Gwen lives on in the influence of her life on you all. It is true that she can no longer be with us physically, but all that Gwen stood for, her example, all your memories, and the love you shared with her remain within you as a living presence. You hold them firmly in your heart and minds. And proof of this is your ability to recall the memories and the love you shared here today. These things are not diminished by her death. Gwen herself was sure that she would live on in God's safe keeping. And I would like us to honour this by standing together and singing the hymn, Abide With Me. Words are on your sheet.
Thank you.
Whilst it's often said that it is easier to accept the death of someone older, the fact is that the relationships they have formed and that the love that they have shared in life extend over a great period of time. And there cannot help be an incredibly painful sense of separation and a deep loss for those who are left behind. However, as Dylan Thomas tells us, though lovers be lost, love shall not, and death shall have no dominion. The love you shared with Gwen is evidenced by the grief you feel at her death, for we don't grieve that which we don't love. This love, however, can be a strength for you through your journey through that grief, if you will stay open to it despite the pain. And I urge you all to do this. There is also the opportunity to turn for strength and support from a power greater than ourselves, which is always available to us. And there is that opportunity now as I read the Lord's Prayer. I invite those who wish to join me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Gwen's death also gives us the opportunity to face once again our own limited time on this earth, to take stock of our lives, evaluate our beliefs, and ponder our journey on the great cycle of life and death of which we are all a part. Gwen would not want you to mourn for long. She would want you to fully live your lives until your own time comes. To not put off what you need to do to be happy, to make choices that enhance life. There was always a wee book of Longfellow's readings on Gwen's coffee table, and her grandson Michael will now share a reading from it, which Gwen's family believe she would like to leave you with.
Be comforted, the world is very old, and generations pass as they have passed, a troop of shadows moving with the sun. Thousands of times has the old tale been told. The world belongs to those who come the last. They will find hope and strength as we have done.
Move now to farewell Gwen in her physical form. Knowing that what has been will be forever, the past and all its meanings are sacred and secure. Your love for Gwen cannot be altered by time and circumstance, and you hold her always in your hearts and memories. I'd ask you all to please stand for the committal. Gwendolyn Harris, we give thanks for the gifts of your life. We are saddened that your ending has come, but we are grateful that you now rest in peace. May the chill of grief at your passing give way to the warmth and sunshine of your memory. You live on in the hearts and memories of those you loved. Tenderly, lovingly and reverently, we now commit the body of Gwendolyn Harris into nature's keeping. Earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. And may you find comfort in your many memories and peace in your hearts. Thank you.
Thank you.